A Year in Japan, Episode 7.
Oi, hello there, and welcome to another show, another edition of A Year in Japan, the podcast brought to you by yours truly, Joseph O'Reilly. Boy, we've got a really exciting show in store tonight. I'm really excited, actually. Really excited. I just can't help get excited thinking about everything we're going to cover tonight. One thing is, we're going to cover the sounds of Japan. Now, there's been a lot of sounds recently that I've noticed. I don't know what it is, maybe it's the season, but there's a lot of sounds going on out there on the street. So I've been out and about with my recorder, and I've caught a few of those sounds on tape. You know, on a good old wind-up gramophone tape thing. And I'll be digitally remastering them for your pleasure tonight, so I do hope you enjoy those as much as I've enjoyed recording them and being given funny looks for sticking my microphone in some rather odd places. What else have we got? Oh, we've got some more information for you students out there. You might be wondering, for example, if you were to study over here in Japan, then how many weeks are you going to be in university? And when can you get to go on holiday? And how are you going to travel around Japan when you do have a holiday, when you got no money? Well, I've got a few tips for you tonight. What else have we got? Well, let me see. Oh, yes. Spring. Spring's coming. The sakura. The cherry blossom. It's nearly out now. You know, but just when we thought spring was coming, you know what's happened? It's got bloody freezing again. Absolutely freezing my bloody fingers off again, you know, and my toes as well. My toes are lower than my fingers, and you know, it's colder down on the floor. So I think it's this glass that we've got here in Japan. Special glass in the windows. Ultra thin. Not to let more light in, but to let more cold in, because we like the cold in the house, so we do in Japan. Oi, so we do. Anyway, what else have we got on the show tonight? Oh, we've got some feedback. We got some feedback. Oh, he's very pleased with this feedback. Very nice. And it's going to be read for us, especially by a very good friend of mine. So, yes, do look forward to that. By all means, by all means. Anyway, that's just a taster of what we've got on tonight's show. So I do hope you enjoy it. Sit back and, yes, do enjoy it and let me know what you reckon. Cheers. Hello, well, thank you there, Joseph O'Reilly, for introducing this week's podcast, A Year in Japan, Episode 7. Gosh, aren't we? All the time is passing and, you know, the podcasts are all coming on. It's all very exciting. Well, we'll start off this week, yes, with a bit of my news. So what have I been up to? Well, I've been... Very busy. A lot of changes in our personal lives. Oh yes, we're getting very personal. With Twinkle quitting her job. Thank God. I've been hoping this would happen pretty much ever since she started it in January. Society, social rules over here are very strict and do tend to make people feel that they absolutely must join some big company and post-graduation and work for several years with no life. And that's pretty much what Twinkle was looking forward to. You know, I think I've talked about it before, but she was leaving the house at 7:30 and getting back very late at night, you know, 10, 11, 12, so. Basically, you know, had no life outside work, which was not good news. It's a very good company. Maybe that's not quite the right description. Well, in many people's eyes, it's a very good company. It's because it's famous and it's successful and they pay well and they work their employees to death. Well, yes, they do actually, yes, because some people have died from overwork at that company. Anyway, so yes, she's quit that and I'm very delighted. And so congratulations to her. And now she just has to find another temporary job.
until we're rich and famous and financially free. So that's going to have a big impact on life here in Japan for us. So we're very happy about that. What else? Oh, yes, talking of office workers and salarymen, well, I've actually sort of become one this past week. I've been, you know, last time I was talking about the Oxfam Japan Trail Walker sponsored walk event thing. Well, I was asked if I'd like to help out in the office because they're now getting a lot of applications in for this event, and they need as many people as possible to help out. And there's a lot of foreigners taking part in this sponsored hike, so it's good to have a gaijin on the team to help out with those queries where it's native English speakers who, you know, maybe they haven't paid the deposits or whatever, and you need someone to be quite polite. And so, of course, I'm the perfect candidate, really. So, yes, that's been it's been good fun, actually, working in the office with a really nice group of people and getting a lot done. I have had a couple of very embarrassing encounters because, you know, it's good for my Japanese. And once again, you know, if you're going to be a student in Japan, I highly recommend trying to get a part-time job in an office as well. I mean, if you can do it, that would be great. Just for a couple of weeks, don't do it for life. Believe me, that would be a big mistake. But yes, thing is, right, I'm no good at polite Japanese. I mean, polite English and normal English, well, there isn't all that much difference, really. My God, but polite Japanese, it's a foreign language, I tell you. It really is. It's a foreign language. And I find it very difficult to get around this stuff. So basically, I mean, there was one situation where I was asked to phone this one English person and ask them about their registration and things. So anyway, I phoned them up, and unfortunately they weren't available, and it was their secretary who was Japanese. So of course she starts speaking Japanese, and I've got no choice but to speak Japanese, and I have to be really polite to her, and I'm squirming in my chair going, no, I have to use all these polite words that I don't really know, and there's all my Japanese colleagues around me listening in, no doubt thinking, oh my God, I can't believe he just said that. That's like slang. He can't use that with these people. You know, we have to be really nice to them. So in the end, I said to the person on the other end in Japanese, oh, please wait a moment, and covered the mouthpiece and called over to one of my colleagues. Oh, can you take this phone call? I can't cope. And passed the phone over because, oh, it was quite excruciating. But no, it's been a good experience, and I'm very glad that I got that chance to help out, and I'll be doing some more work for them. So so that's pretty much what I've been up to. You know, I've been teaching, I've been working for Oxfam Japan, and I've been doing my studying Japanese, of course, and you know, doing a bit of cooking. I'm really enjoying cooking at the moment. It's great fun. Japanese recipes and things. So basically, all is good, very good. And another 3 weeks or so of holiday until it's back to the grindstone, which I'm not really looking forward to. I have to admit, I'm not really looking forward to next semester at uni, because I want my free time. Anyway, that's what I've been up to lately. Well, as Joseph O'Reilly mentioned at the beginning of the show, this week we're going to be listening to the sounds of Japan, the sounds of Tokyo, the sounds that have been driving me absolutely crazy, which I bring to you to drive you absolutely crazy as you go about your daily business. So working at the office for Oxfam near Ueno, there's one thing this week that has driven me completely crazy, and that is the election. In the UK, we have laws that prohibit people from making a lot of noise on the streets and things like that, noise in public places. You know, we like quietness. We like peace and calm and bowler hats and fog, of course. If one lives in Japan, that's the kind of stereotype that one fits into if one so desires. Anyway, yes, so we got these laws in the UK. There are no laws in Japan, or if there are, they're not enforced. No laws against making a lot of noise on the streets. And so the streets are very noisy, especially in Tokyo. So election time, what happens is you get these blooming candidates driving round in cars all day long for days on end with and these cars aren't ordinary cars. These are cars with huge great speakers mounted on the roof and great big pictures of their names, of the kanji written, their names written in. They just go around blasting out their names. You have the candidate sitting in the back of the car with a microphone, just repeating their name over and over again, saying, "Arigatou gozaimasu! Yoroshiku onegaishimasu! Onegaiitashimasu!" Oh my god, it drives you absolutely nuts. Or they never seem to say their policies at all. All it is the name again and again. There was one occasion actually where we did hear some policies, and that was when one of the candidates decided to stop their car outside, right outside our office window, get their whole team out of the car, get all these flags out, and set up this mini camp, and then she stood there for about 10 minutes blasting out her policies, something to do with hospitals and things like that. And I thought it was a very cunning ploy of hers to have broken her leg just before the election, because she was standing there in crutches. So everyone felt sorry for her. And there were a few people standing around sort of listening, but I reckon they were paid actors. So anyway, we're going to hear now some of the sorts of things you'll hear at election time in Japan. So sit back and get just as annoyed as I was.
よろしくお願いいたします。少子高齢化が叫ばれておりますが、高森久美子、自らの子育て経験、そして介護の体制を生かし、不正で取り組んでまいります。高森久美子でございます。安心安全な環境を作る高森久美子、自民党唯一の女性候補者、高森久美子、地元の高森、高森久美子。
My God, it was enough to drive you completely crazy. I counted her say her name 16 times in that short extract. And of course, she was driving around all day long, camping outside the office. And of course, you got the other candidates as well, all trying to be louder than each other. So all in all, it was a right nightmare. And the staff in the office were actually trying to persuade me, as the foreigner in the office, to lean out the window and shout at her to tell her to shut up, which I didn't do. But I was very tempted. The next sound we're going to hear is the sound that you hear whenever you enter any shop. You're greeted with "Irashaimase," welcome to the welcome type meaning. Every single member of staff should say it, and they even say it to each other, because they just say it automatically whenever anyone enters the shop. So even if a member of the staff has gone out to empty the rubbish bin outside the shop and they come back in, they just accidentally say "Irashaimase" to each other. It's so automatic, they don't even know what they're saying. And one thing I've noticed is that when staff in Japan say "Irashaimase," they adopt this really peculiar nasal type voice. And even my friends do this. When I did the one day at Oxfam shop, I found that my friends, who normally talk perfectly normally, when they were saying "Irashaimase," they suddenly became nasally inhibited, or something like that. And or maybe it's the opposite, because they're talking through their noses. Anyway, so yes, in the first extract, try and listen out for the girl and the guy. There's music in the background from the shop, but so you have to listen quite carefully. But they had some classic "Irashaimase" and classic greetings, not really human voices. I'm sure they had some sort of voice boxes somewhere on their clothes type things. The second extract we're going to hear is a woman in the basement of the Ogikubo supermarket, sort of food basement. It's the oldest in Japan, I believe, and it's still one of the noisiest. And yes, the woman there was very, very genki. She loved talking to the customers very loudly, so you couldn't actually hear what you were thinking. Anyway, let's listen to those. So yes, that was quite an impressive accent he had there, wasn't it? It was and her voice as well, you couldn't hear it very clearly in the background. Was it like that? It was kind of like that, wasn't it? So yeah, I think those two have been practicing. I reckon, right, they go home every night after work to a local, or they go to a karaoke box, and they practice for hours on end, trying to become more and more nasal. And they practice all night long. In fact, it's probably in the company manual. It wouldn't surprise me. And of course, the company manual would also state where they have to sit in the karaoke box, but that's another story. Now the next sound is where I sort of indulge in my Mac fetish a little. I'm terribly sorry. People who can't stand talking about hearing talk about Macs, turn away now. Basically, it is Japan related, although it's not exactly a sound of Japan. It's actually a sound of the UK. It's one of the new Mac adverts featuring a Japanese printer on UK TV. And on the website. And here we hear from, I can't remember his name, the guy who plays the Mac speaking Japanese to the printer. And well, we've done some expert analysis on his Japanese, and I'm afraid it's a big thumbs down. It's not at all clear, and it's very foreigner-like. You know, you would have thought, you know, all that money they've got at Mac, they would have put a bit more time and effort into getting his accent right, because it's quite shocking. In actual fact, one could almost say, and don't tell Apple this because they'll never sell me another computer, one could almost say that the PC's Japanese is actually better. Okay, so anyway, so just indulge me as we hear a little bit from the ad. Together.
Hang on, who's this?
Oh, this is that new printer from Japan. Just came out.
Why is she connected to you? She probably doesn't realise you're a Mac. It's no use! He's a Mac!
PC, we can communicate. Everything just kind of works with a Mac.
Listen, your efforts are being wasted. Watashi wa omochi desu. Eki wa doku desu ka? Hmm? You sure she's Japanese?
Yeah.
Oh, I've just got a quick PS to the little bit of news I had about Twinkle quitting her job. She's actually just come back from a snowboarding break with her colleagues. Just arrived back about half an hour ago. And she hasn't actually left the company yet, although she's handed in her notice. Anyway, she was telling me about one thing she did, which was a very, very naughty. But oh crikey, it drives me crazy. Right, basically, so a whole group of them from the office went snowboarding together. Now, when it came to lunchtime, they went to the restaurant at the bottom of the piste. You know, just a normal restaurant. You just go in with all your gear on. And anyway, what she did was she sat down in the seat that was furthest away from the front entrance of the restaurant. And, well, it was only afterwards that she was told that what she had done was very, very naughty. She had totally forgotten the rules, the Japanese rules of seating when at a restaurant with your colleagues. Even if you're on holiday, you have to obey these rules, in that the most important person in the group should be seated furthest away from the door, with the lesser mortals seated nearest the door. And of course, she'd gone and sat in basically where their team leader should have sat. I find this absolutely infuriating, that even when you're out of the office, even when you're having a holiday, you have to follow these bloody customs, blooming rules, you know. Crikey, where's your personal freedom? Call this a developed nation. It's absolutely ridiculous. There's even rules for where you sit in a taxi. I didn't notice this in her instruction booklet that she got when she joined the company in January, but there's a diagram of a taxi showing in what order who should sit depending on their rank. I mean, for God's sake. Oh, drives me nuts. I'm so glad I am not a Japanese salary worker, because I think they just sacrifice so much of their freedom. I think they should all rebel and throw carrots at their bosses, because that's what people who are rebelling do. Yes, so there we go.
Learning Japanese, I think I'm learning Japanese, I really think so. Learning Japanese, I think I'm learning Japanese, I really think so. Learning Japanese, I think I'm learning Japanese, I really think so. Learning Japanese, I think I'm learning Japanese, I really think so.
Yes, it's that time of the show again when we go learning Japanese. And I've got some top tips for you this week, including, let me see, let's start with TBS News. Always a good idea to help you get used to the language. Listen to it as much as possible. And one thing to make it a bit more interesting, or actually to make it far easier to understand what's being said, or at least if you don't speak much Japanese at all, to get any idea of what's being said, television is great. My teachers at university thoroughly recommend watching television to learn Japanese. Of course, if you're not in Japan, then it's not so easy. However, if you have broadband internet, then of course you can watch TV online. Now, one thing you can watch, it's not the most exciting TV, and it's not necessarily the kind of language that you'd use every day, but if you're studying Japanese at university, then you will need to get used to news Japanese, sort of polite Japanese, and so I thoroughly recommend TBS News. Now, TBS News, the address of which is http://news.tbs.co.jp, that's news.tbs.co.jp. TBS News, basically they have three shows a day, which are about, they broadcast about 12 minute shows on the internet, so you can go to that website any time of day and you'll see three different shows. One's called Evening News, one's Morning News, and one's Nighttime News, 11 o'clock at Night News. Anyway, you simply select your player and what quality video you want to watch, and you can watch the day's news in 12 minutes. Now, 12 minutes, you know, it's just about the right size. It's not too long to bore you to death, and it's not too short. So you can, you know, and if you also, if you sort of know what's going on in Japan, which is, of course, context, you know, is so important when learning a language. So if you're watching the news, it's always a good idea to have an idea of what's going on in the news that day anyway, because then when you see the news on the TBS news channel, you think, oh yes, that's that story. So in order to catch up on what news is going on, I thoroughly recommend, so in combination with watching TBS videos, thoroughly recommend you subscribe, free subscription to one of the Japanese news websites. Ones that I tend to use are Mainichi, M-A-I-N-I-C-H-I, every day, Mainichi News, and that's done through MSN, and you can subscribe to their RSS feed and get the headlines delivered to you every day. There's also the Japan Times, which has a daily email, which they send out at 9 a.m. every day. You can subscribe to that for free. And Japan Today is okay. Japan Today is a bit more, it's a bit American in my opinion. I don't mean that in a negative way, of course, but it tends to be a pretty America-centric, even though it's Japan Today. And also, I don't like the writing style. But anyway, that's just my opinion. So I thoroughly recommend you subscribe to one of the news sites and you watch TBS News every day to get used to it. And of course, they've also got the kanji, not subtitles, but basic story, sort of story description in subtitles. So if you're learning kanji, then that also helps there. So yes, so TBS News, thoroughly recommend that. Next recommendation this week is Hiragana Times. Hiragana Times. The web address is hiraganatimes.com. Now, the Hiragana Times is a bilingual magazine published in Tokyo every month. And basically, you have the English, the story in Japanese next to the same story in English. Often stories on various aspects of living in Japan as a foreigner. To be honest, the quality of the writing is not exactly the best. They do have a lot of rather odd stories, quite a few adverts for dating agencies and things like that. But you can learn quite a bit about Japanese culture there, and they have things like dealing with visa problems and stuff like that. And it's great because you can read the article in Japanese, and it's got all the furigana written above the kanji. So even if you can't read kanji, you can still read it, providing your hiragana is okay and your katakana. And then if you don't understand any of it, you can read the English. And I've learnt quite a lot through reading the Hiragana Times. So you can get it on subscription in either PDF form, or you can have it sent to you by airmail once a month. if you're overseas, it's not exactly cheap, but I think it's thoroughly worthwhile, and you can keep them for years and use them as practice. Even if they're slightly out of date, it doesn't really matter. I still use issues that I bought a few years ago. So hiraganatimes.com, thoroughly recommend that. Third recommendation today, if you're living in Japan, is, oh, by the way, Hiragana Times, you can buy it in all good bookstores in Japan. Third recommendation is The Big Issue. Big Issue Japan. Of course, you have to be living in Japan to actually get hold of this, often sold, of course, at railway stations and things like that. Started in the UK, Big Issue is basically a magazine written to so that homeless people can sell it and have an income so they can actually get back on their feet. Big Issue Japan, I really enjoy it. It's mostly in Japanese. Sometimes, for example, they had an interview with Nicolas Cage this fortnight, and that was partly in English as well, because the Big Issue UK passes on a lot of material, so sometimes they put both English and Japanese. Anyway, Big Issue, it's got a lot of really interesting stories, and it's very well written, and it's not all flashy and bling bling, and doesn't use a lot of silly language. So Big Issue Japan, thoroughly recommend that. Find your local Big Issue vendor, normally outside the major railway stations such as Ebisu, Shinjuku South, etc. So those are my recommendations for learning Japanese this week. So I hope that they help, and by all means do have a look at TBS News. Even if you can't understand anything for the first few months or whatever, it's still, I think it's really worthwhile, because you do get used to the language, and you'll be a lot better than the Mac guy or the PC guy who's trying to ask where the station is. Ekiwa duko desu ka? Whatever he said. Anyway, that's learning Japanese for this week. Yo, yo, Wiggy, we had some feedback this week, and delightful feedback it was too. First, a shout out to Mr. Simon San. Simon, my thoughts are with you. And also, thank you very much for your kind remark. I'm glad you enjoyed the last episode and it didn't send you to sleep just like the first episode did. Anyway, I had some other feedback this week, which is going to be read in the form of an email, which is going to be read to us by Bruce. Now, I've discovered a whole array of characters in my Mac, which I didn't realise. I didn't realise they were in there, actually. At least not. I didn't realise that they could read emails in this way. So if you'd like to send some feedback, do let me know what kind of person, what kind of voice you would like to have your email read in by. So this week, an email from Joe Kester. Thank you very much for your feedback, Joe. And here we go. Here's your message. Thank you very much.
Hi, Joseph. I was listening to your latest episode of A Year in Japan, and you asked for some feedback. Well, here's some. I found your podcast when searching various directories for a good podcast about Japan from an exchange student's point of view. I'm currently planning to spend a year abroad next year as an exchange student through my college, and I'm trying to get as much information on the subject as I can. I'm finding your podcast to be very humorous and interesting. You have unique little tidbits and insights on Japanese places and going-ons that I haven't seen in other shows. Overall, it's really well produced and gets me excited to go to Japan. Keep up the good work. Joe.
Thanks, Joe, and congratulations on having such a great name. And I hope you enjoyed Bruce there reading your message on your behalf. I'm glad you found the podcast of use. If you've got any specific questions about your year abroad or your studying abroad, which you're planning on doing, which I think is a great idea, and all the best with those plans. If you've got any specific questions, you know, just send them on in and I'll do my best to answer them. So earlier on in the show, I was saying that I was going to talk a little bit about what kind of holidays you get when you're a student in Japan. Well, basically, if you're in Japan for a year, then you spend probably about 12 months on holiday as a student. No, it's not quite that bad. But I think we actually spend 6 months in university. Now, of course, all universities differ, but as a general rule, it goes something like this. The new academic year starts in April, as opposed to September like it is in the UK. You have the first semester from April through till July. And then you have quite a short summer holiday and you start again in September and go through to December or January. And then you have your exams and then you have two and a half months off. That's a general rule. Of course, all universities differ. That's how my university is. But I know some people, for example, one of my classmates, she actually her spring holiday started in December. So and she doesn't go back until April. Other people, I know another of my classmates, he started at his university in early September and will actually finish in June, I believe. So and some people don't actually get that sort of spring. I mean, I've got like this 2.5-3 month spring holiday, but some people only get a couple of weeks off. So unlike in the UK, I believe it's pretty, all the universities sort of share the same dates, but over here they do seem to differ. But the basic rule is April through till July and then September through till December, with exams in July and December or January. Anyway, so what are you going to do with all that time off? Well, going travelling is a great idea. And very kindly, Japan Rail, JR, they have what's called a Seishun Juhachikippu, which basically means a young person's 18-year-old rail card or something like that. Just remember it as Juhachikippu, 18 ticket. And what that is essentially it costs this time. It's every holiday, every proper university holiday, you can buy it from any JR office. It's only available during the holidays and it costs about 8,000 yen. Well, normally it's 11,000 yen, but this time it's 8,000 yen. this holiday, and it allows you to make 5 journeys anywhere in the whole of Japan, providing each journey has to be take less than 24 hours. So if, for example, you were to do a 2-day journey, then you'd have your ticket stamped twice. The other proviso is you cannot use it on limited express or Shinkansen bullet trains. You can only use it on local trains, otherwise you have to pay a surcharge. Now, because we've got the bullet train in Japan, what's happened is we've got these really fast bullet trains that get you from one side of the country to the other in a few hours. Then there's nothing in between, and then there's these really slow local trains. So for example, I'm going to go to Osaka later, well, next week. I can't afford the bullet train because it costs about 15,000 yen, which is about £70. So I'm going to go with the local train. But the local train is going to take 11 hours. So it's, you know, 2.5-3 hours on the bullet train or 11 hours on the local train and nothing in between because they've all been scrapped because of the bullet train. But having said that, you know, going around Japan via local train is actually quite good fun. You get to see a lot of scenery and you can meet some really interesting people. So essentially, you know, if you're a broke student, best thing to do is in the holidays buy your Juhachi Kippu. You can make 5 journeys, as it doesn't, they can go as many kilometers as you like as long as it's within 24 hours. So theoretically you can go from one side of Japan to the other for the price of, well, for one journey it would work out at about 1500 yen, which is about £7. So it's an absolute bargain, and I've used them a lot in the past, and I know my friends are using them, and I will be using them again. So Juhachi Kippu, absolute bargain. The other thing, of course, is buses. There's plenty of private buses. JR buses, Japan Rail buses, tend to be quite expensive, but private buses you can get, say, from Tokyo to Osaka for about 4,500 yen, which is £25 or something. It's more expensive than the UK, but, you know, it's still pretty good. There's a lot of night buses as well, which are terrible if you've got long legs, but still very convenient. So yeah, there's a lot of buses. If you don't speak Japanese, it can be a bit of a problem booking them. Oh, fantastic hint here about traveling around Japan. If your Japanese isn't too good, there is a website which is an absolute godsend. It's called Hyperdia, Hyperdia. I think it's hyperdia.com. Basically, it's all Japan's railway timetables in English. You know, you just put in where you're going from, where you're going to, date, etc., and it will bring out the whole timetable, lots of different options, all in English, and tell you the price as well. Absolutely fantastic. Tells you everything from Shinkansen, airlines, aeroplanes, to local trains. It's brilliant. I use it a lot. So that's Hyperdia. I think it's hyperdia.com. If it isn't Hyperdia.com, just do a search on Google for Hyperdia. So there's some great travel tips, and you know, you can certainly use that to see Japan during your holidays. So thoroughly recommended.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of another show. My God, I can't believe it's over already. When's the next one coming out?
I know, that's what you're all asking. Well, I just have to be patient. Yes, so thank you ever so much for listening this week. If I promised that I was going to do some things at the beginning of this show that I haven't done, you'll have to forgive me because I can't remember back that far. It was at least 30 minutes ago. but I'll probably remember after I've finished all the editing and sent it off to iTunes. Anyway, feedback. If you'd like to send me some feedback, please do. Remember, the address, as always, is joseph@ayearinjapan.com. You can go to the website, www.ayearinjapan.com, and you'll see all my contact details there. You can Skype me as well. My username is Joseph Tame. You can have a look at all my photos and various other stories on my blog, which is called The Daily Mumble. The address for that is tamegoeswild.com, T-A-M-E, goes wild, tamegoeswild.com/The Daily Mumble. And there you'll find all my stories and lots of photographs from Japan and things. And you can send me MP3s or videos via email. Not that anyone has yet, you lazy so-and-sos. My God. So yes, thank you ever so much for the feedback I have received, and I hope you're all keeping well out there, and let me know if there's anything you want to hear, or any reports or any ideas or whatever, just send it on in. Okay, well, until next time, stay safe, stay happy, and remember that you're absolutely amazing and you're unique and there's no one like you, and you're fantastic as well. And you're very much loved by lots of people, even if not by me. No, but that's only because I don't know you. Or maybe I do. Anyway, I think I should be quiet now. So I'll see you next time. So it's goodbye from me. And it's goodbye from me. Thank you very much for listening. Ta-ra for now. See you next time. Bye-bye.